Matthew's gospel typically portrays Jesus' disciples as people of little faith who failed despite their best intention. In this story, Matthew shows how Jesus comes to the disciples when they are in trouble and sustains them in their time of fear and doubt. The gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side of the Sea of Galilee while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and he began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, good morning as we gather today for our children and family time. Again, we're gathering at the family table. And this morning, we continue to look at prayer, the importance of prayer, the necessity of being able to pray. And I suppose for most of us, prayer is associated with the family table. Oftentimes, we have a prayer, we say grace before a meal. And so, prayer is an integral part of gathering together. This morning, though, we're going to look at a particular part of prayer called ask. Asking in prayer help. Now, for me, growing up, I guess I was sort of raised that you shouldn't ask for help. You're supposed to be able to go it alone, figure it out yourself, and that's how it kind of was for me growing up. And so I've never really been very good at asking. And I realize now that that isn't necessarily a healthy attitude. It's good to ask. My daughter and I like Mexican food. The only thing today, cilantro has really become a staple with Mexican food. And cilantro is something you either like or you don't like. It either has a taste of mint freshness or it has a taste of bad soap. For me, it's bad soap. And so when we've had a meal in a Mexican restaurant and cilantro was on it, I am picking the cilantro leaves off. And my daughter has told me, "Why don't you just ask them not to put it in?" Boy, now there's a good idea. But still, I'm kind of afraid to ask. Why is that? My daughter has taught me it never hurts to ask. It never hurts to ask. And this morning, I'd like to say that Jesus is really at the forefront of giving us permission to ask for help from God. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prays three different times. And one time when he prays, he says this, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not what I want, but what you want." Jesus asks his Father if he could be spared death. That's quite an ask, isn't it? But Jesus asks the question. And yet he asks the question in such a way is that he's ready for whatever answer is given. Yet not my will, but your will. Jesus asks and then is open-ended for the response. Sometimes I think we get trapped into thinking that when we ask something, if it doesn't happen the way we want it to happen, that something is wrong, that God isn't there. That's not true. God is always there. God is always listening to our prayer. And God wants to help us. But I think first God wants us to ask a question, or many questions, and probably ask the hard questions. God, why is there so much hatred in the world? God, why is there so much sadness today? Why is there so much animosity today? Help me see how it can be different. You ask the hard questions, and in asking, you become part of the solution. And so today, as you gather in your families in these tough times, don't be afraid to ask for help. It never hurts to ask. And always remember, you can bring even the hardest question to God, and God will listen, and God will accompany, and God will be with as we find new ways to live together. Thanks be to God. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I hope all of you have had your breakfast, or if you're not finished yet, just don't keep eating for a little while, because I'm going to start today with something that might not make you feel so well. You see, I've always been kind of, I guess you'd say, squeamish. It's probably not a great trait to have, but I've always had that trait. I remember when I was a kid, I think I was maybe 12, my sister and I spent some time with our cousins that lived in Seattle, Washington, and being a kid of the prairie, going to a place with lots of water, of course, our cousins wanted to take us out on a ferry, a big ferry, to go up the Strait of Juan de Fuca to Victoria, British Columbia. It was going to last all day. We were really excited. But remember I said I was kind of squeamish? Now I know you can get seasick on a boat. But here is the embarrassing part. I threw up, not once, but twice, while the ferry was still docked. How did this happen? Well, as they were loading vehicles onto the ferry, it would list a little bit. Just a little bit. Ugh. I got sick. It was not good. I was sick the whole way there and the whole way back. That's the last time I've been on a ferry. Because I'm sure if I went again, I would only duplicate the experience. So let's go forward in time a little bit. I'm now a young adult living on my own. I'm living in Denver, Colorado. I go to Grace Lutheran Church, and I help with the youth group. I'm one of their youth advisors. Well, the youth group wanted an outing to Elitch Gardens. Now, Elitch Gardens is Denver's equivalent to Valley Fair in Chanhassen. And so the youth were excited to go, particularly for one reason. Elitch Gardens has a wooden roller coaster about 100 feet high, considered one of the top 10 roller coasters in the United States of America. And of course, I was one of the chaperones. You see where this is going, don't you? We got there. I did not want to go on that ride. But the youth made me. They made me get on that ride. Okay, again, I'll just tell you now, things don't change. I was screaming, and I mean screaming, and they were still loading people into the car. That's how I knew it was not going to be a good day. And boy, we went up, and we went down, and we went this way and that way, and we even went underground because part of that roller coaster goes through a tunnel. What seemed like hours later, which was probably only a few minutes, the ride stopped, but I didn't. I immediately got out of that car, and ahead of me, I saw a big rock wall. And I just was going right to it. As soon as I got to it, I leaned over and threw up all over. Not once, not twice, no, three times. Then I looked up. I didn't know it was an outdoor restaurant, and all these people were just looking at me. My North Dakota nice came out and I said, "Excuse me, I'm sorry," and I left. The point of this is the youth group made me get on that ride. And that's how I'm looking at the text today. Today, rather than going through some of the nuances that I normally would focus on, I'm looking at the very beginning of that text. Jesus made the disciples get into the boat. I would have liked to have stayed on land. You can see why, can't you? That's why I told you those stories. I like my feet firmly planted. But no, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and then sent them away to the other side. Now I'm beginning to see what life is like for a child of God. You and I, God's children, are made to get into the boat. What does that mean? Well, you know, it means there's going to be times like this, isn't there? There's going to be times when we're going to be tossed about to and fro. There's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's going to be all of that. That's life. Jesus makes us get into the boat. But you know, if we just stayed on land, if we didn't move, if we stood there with our feet firmly planted, what would we be doing? We would just be isolating ourselves from life. And that is not life. No, Jesus makes all of us get into the boat and start that journey. And sometimes we get afraid. Jesus is giving us some great lessons this morning. Remember when Peter gets out of the boat? Peter thinks, no, I can do this on my own. He leaves his community. He leaves the other disciples behind and ventures out on his own. And suddenly he realizes he's isolated. And being that he's isolated, he starts to sink. He has no one to lean on, no one to depend on, no one to be supported by. He's out there alone and he starts to sink. Jesus rescues him. And what I think is probably the most interesting part of the gospel this morning is when Peter gets back in the boat and Jesus gets in the boat, only then does the wind cease. Only then do the seas calm. It happens only after Jesus is with them that they feel peace, that they experience calm. That's how your life and my life are today. We are living in, as Pastor Mark said, stormy times. Very stormy times. We are still being tossed about to and fro. We don't know today when things are going to calm down. We get afraid. We feel we're adrift and we're alone. It's hard for us to experience community today. But we have to remember that we are all in the same boat. You and I, as children of God, are in the same boat. And Christ is with us. No matter how stormy it gets, no matter how much we are battered about, Christ is not leaving us. Jesus is with us in that boat, connecting us with one another, connecting us with his word, calling us to prayer, calling us to be together. So today, in these stormy times, don't feel you're adrift or alone. You're not. Christ is with you. Let that calm you down a bit and calm me down. Let that ease your queasiness in mind. Let that be for you an anchor, a solid anchor, that Christ continues to be moving us in that boat towards the other side, always holding us and keeping us safe. Thanks be to God. Amen.